You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Today's weather, sunny and clear with cooler temperatures on the way. Now, back to more music.
This was a great idea, honey, to have the family get together. Haven't seen the grandkids in a long time.
Yes. And wait until the kids see the new pool we had installed. They will love it.
Oh boy, I can't wait. Now let's see. New barbecue grill? Check. Steaks? Check. Cooler full of cold drinks? Check. Oh, and perfect weather? Check.
Wonderful.
Ah, that was close. Get undercover, honey. Get out of here. It's a twister. It's a twister.
Are you sick and tired of being told it's gonna be a nice sunny day, but it's everything except that? Same with auto repair. You're told it's the brakes, but it turns out to be the engine. Call Perfection Auto Works today, 323-8650, for accurate reports on your car or truck repairs, brakes, tires, oil changes, complete auto repair, 323-8650, and perfectionautoworks.com.
Because I'm not a politician, people ask me, Chris Nanos, why I'm running for sheriff. But for 40 years, I've been a darn good cop. Standing up to thugs and standing strong for victims, that's why so many members of the sheriff's department have asked me to run. They say their turnover has never been higher and their morale never lower. They say they want a new leader. I ask for your support to be that leader.
We need Nanos for sheriff. Paid for by Nanos for sheriff.
Since 1996, Sharon Bronson has served the people of Pima County with leadership, honor, and commitment to responsible government. Sharon led the way for the passage of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, which has protected environmentally sensitive lands while assuring new growth pays for itself. Sharon Bronson is a leader, and through these difficult times, we need her leadership more now than ever. Vote for Sharon Bronson for Supervisor in District 3. This message approved and paid for by Bronson for Supervisor.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon. Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the most talked to, talked about, and listened to political talk show weekends in the entire state of Arizona. Thank you so much for making that possible. Today we'll interview trauma surgeon, member of the State House of Representatives, Dr. Randy Freese, running again for a House seat out of Legislative District 9. Board of Supervisor candidate Dr. Matt Hines will be with us. Republican candidate for their Congress in Congressional District 2, Joe Morgan, will be featured. And then Democratic Supervisor candidate Rex Scott, running for the Board of Supervisors as a Democrat. Let's get to it. Here's Dr. Randy Freese. Doctor, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join us. Thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
If we were having this conversation August 1st, 2021, what would we be talking about 1 year from today? Look ahead.
Hopefully, we'll be talking about how the vaccine is being implemented for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, how cases have gone way down, how we're back, our kids are back in school and the classrooms are safe. Hopefully we'll talk about how this virus is in our rearview mirror and not something that we're currently dealing with.
How likely is that?
Well, you know, I think that if we do certain things smartly, if we do certain things thinking about each other and thinking about others and not just thinking about ourselves, like wearing a mask, like social distancing, like making sure that we do everything we can to slow the spread down and keep the surge from hitting our hospitals again, and then engaging in an active vaccination program when the vaccine is available, I think it's very possible.
Can we blame this at least partially on the governor opening the state too soon? So, I mean, there was no question we were headed in the right direction, and then we went completely the opposite. Somebody had to be responsible. Wasn't our chief executive the one responsible?
Well, I think, you know, he's the one issuing the executive orders. So, yeah, he's accountable for those orders. He's accountable for reversing those orders. And I do think that things were done too quickly. I'm not sure too soon is the right answer, but too quickly. We were at a good point with the initial stay-at-home order of 6 weeks, where the curve had certainly come down and flattened. And I think what we did was we moved too quickly. One could argue maybe also too soon, but I certainly feel comfortable saying too quickly. We could have done things in a more stepwise fashion instead of, and we could have identified the loopholes like bars that were calling themselves restaurants and letting them open as well. We could have done mandated more capacity for restaurants and things like that, maybe outdoor dining only. I know that's a little difficult in Arizona, but it was only May at the time. So I think we could have done things a little bit more, with a little bit more restraint.
Doctor, as a member of the House of Representatives, how well prepared is Arizona to deal with the economic devastation of the coronavirus?
Well, I mean, we, as a state, in our budget, we have $1 billion in our budget stabilization fund that we can hopefully use to shore up some of the shortfall we might see in our budget that we need to give to our schools and healthcare and roads and infrastructure. My major concern, however, is how well prepared is Arizona to help the average citizen, and that we are ill prepared. Right, our unemployment assistance is second lowest in the nation at $240 a week. We still have made no changes in it, even as the pandemic assistance program is expiring on the federal level. Governor Ducey has punted again. This time he's punted the ball up to the federal government, saying he's not going to do anything about our low unemployment insurance assistance rates. He's punted several times down to the cities and towns about masks and other things with this pandemic. I think that, Arizona is ill prepared to help the average Arizona through this crisis.
It seems to me, too, as we take a look at the future, and we really don't know how this is going to end. We can be optimistic about next year and a vaccine. But I think we're going to feel the economic pain of what has happened in 2020 for many years to come. This is the worst thing economically and obviously lives lost and people harmed that we've ever gone through. And at least in my lifetime, I've been around a while, and so have you. But I mean, we're going to pay for this for a long, long time, and it's going to take a while to heal all these wounds.
Well, I think you're right. I think there are generations, family businesses that have been around for generations that are suffering and possibly could fold and not come back. Certainly the new businesses that hadn't established themselves and don't have name recognition in the community or have reliable funding sources are suffering. I think that what we have to do is as a state, be prepared through small business loan programs to complement the one the federal government was doing. And one of those proposals our caucus had on as we were passing the budget through, one of the amendments was to parallel that program with $10 million or $20 million of Arizona money for Arizona small businesses. I think that the state needs to have an eye towards what can we do to help us through this economic hardship. And I think we have to look at individuals. We have to look at small businesses. We have to look at services, healthcare, transportation, infrastructure, all these things to help us through. Remember, the more money you invest in infrastructure is creating jobs and creating opportunities. So I think, we could take this opportunity to increase our broadband infrastructure.
What is your...
take this opportunity. Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Doctor. What is your criteria to open schools safely? And do you see that happening now with not only everything from K through 12, but the universities across the state? And how concerned are you that we just may screw this up?
Well, I think that now is not the time for in the classroom instruction to happen. I was disappointed to see the governor insist that all Foster students through his through DCS are mandated to have in classroom instruction. I think now is not the time. I think we need more information. And again, when the time comes, when we feel it's safe, we need indicators of downtrending proportion testing positive. We're certainly beginning to see that number rolling over from a high of 23% to now, I think 17%. Or we need that trend to be less than, absolutely less than 10%, probably less than 5%. And then when we do reopen the schools, we need to do it in a very thoughtful way. I think a phased reopening by grade makes sense. We need to take into account the science here. It has been established that the younger children absolutely can get the virus, but they are lower transmission. The rates of transmission from younger children are lower. So maybe we should start with opening our K through five schools and having a measured effect, looking at the data, doing things and collecting data, and then making decisions based on the data. That when you throw the doors open at the beginning, then it doesn't give you time to look at the results of what you're doing, collect data, and make informed decisions.
You and I have had this political conversation for so many years, but boy, this looks like a Democratic year. You have literally, Kelly, leading, obviously, McSally for the Senate race. You've got congressional candidates in deep trouble, Swigert's in trouble, because he obviously did some very bad things and got reprimanded for it and punished. So we've got some congressional people that are Republican incumbents longstanding that are in trouble. I can foresee perhaps picking up a couple of more congressional seats. I don't know how you feel about that, but also a U.S. Senate seat, and would go down, I think, all the way to the ballot to the legislature and perhaps local races being affected by what is a blue wave. And you can't suggest that it's anything else if you take a look at the numbers from the political polling that I've looked at.
Well, I do agree. I feel optimistic that we'll have a change in Arizona. And, you know, if you want to change, the great place to do that is exercise your right to vote. I think Mark Kelly would be an outstanding United States senator. I am very interested in making sure that people do vote down the ballot. We have a chance to I frequently say that the way that the state legislature has been run for years has turned its back on negotiation and compromise. It has become a badge of shame to pass a budget that doesn't have all your caucus members on it. And I think that's not the way it's supposed to be done. We should be passing budgets that reflect the values of the state, and that means it should represent Democratic values as well as Republican values. And if the Democrats are in a majority, we'll be able to take this time to take to show by example how we should be leading and making sure that we're negotiating and compromising and creating budgets and statutes and laws that are based on all of our values and not just a fraction, not just simply because we're in the majority and we have it our way. If we turn the screws on our own colleagues, we can always have it our way. We should be building coalitions and compromising. And that's how I intend to govern if we can have a majority in the state legislature after this election.
Well, Doctor, we're out of time, but I want to say to you that I've never been more proud to endorse a candidate for the legislature than I have been in endorsing you. You've been a great plus for all of us, and I just want to thank you for all the sacrifices you've made from your responsibilities as a trauma surgeon to now the responsibilities as a member of the House of Representatives. Thanks for serving, and thanks for running again. We really appreciate it. I know you're going to win this thing, but we want people to vote for you. What do they do? Very quickly, got about 30 seconds.
You can vote by home, vote by mail. You can go to the primary. I'd much rather people vote from home, vote by mail. If you need to know more about me, you can visit my website. It's drfreeseforhouse.com. And thank you, John, for the opportunity.
Well, I'm very proud to do that, Doctor. Thanks for being with us. Great to talk with you. I'll talk with you often after the primary. And thanks for being on the show. I really, really thank you.
All right, take care.
You bet. Dr. Randy Freeze, one of the most respected trauma surgeons in America, one of the best legislators we've ever sent to Phoenix. We'll be talking with another legislator we sent to Phoenix who's trying to win a seat on the Board of Supervisors and a physician. Dr. Matt Hines is my guest after these messages.
It's now over in Europe. The last three areas of resistance in Germany are falling apart tonight.
Very quickly, kind of a personal note, I had a timing belt that blew up in my car, which didn't let it run and blew up the motor. So I'm trying to think, give me an honest mechanic that can fix this thing or tell me what I ought to do that's going to make the most sense. So I went over to Mike Emery. I said, can you tell me about this car? He said, here's what I'll do with it. And he's going to put a new timing belt, a new engine on it, and it's going to be a new car when he gets through with it. And I'm going to give you a fair price, which he did. And he fixed it. It runs perfect. I didn't want any more car than what I had after I'd left Perfection Auto Works. And this guy's a great guy. All I care about, he was an honest mechanic who did the right thing for me. And I suggest if you have a car problem, you take it to Perfection Auto Works and take it to Mike Emery at 1046 North Beverly. He just fixed the car at a fair price. It runs perfect. Thanks, Mike.
The fault is not in our stars, but in ourselves. Good night and good luck.
Pima County Health Department, under the direction of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, works every day to protect Pima County citizens. It is timely that one of Arizona's most respected physicians is stepping forward in the middle of this terrible pandemic to run for a seat of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Dr. Matt Hines is a former member of the State House of Representatives. If we ever needed a medical expert on the Board of Supervisors, we need that doctor now. We need Dr. Matt Hines for supervisor. Vote for Matt Hines for supervisor. This message paid for by Hines for Supervisor. Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubbell, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue. Rex Scott is running for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. For almost 30 years, Rex has been an educator, working as a teacher and an administrator in public schools. Rex Scott's nearly three decades in public education gives him the experience in finding common ground and determining solutions to complex issues. Rex Scott knows District 1. He has served three schools within the district, Floyd Wells Junior High School, Ironwood Ridge High School, and Tortolita Middle School. Rex started his career in public service as the youngest member ever in the city council in his hometown of Athens, Ohio. With 23 years of service as an appointed or elected leader, Rex is far and away the best qualified person to be the next District 1 supervisor. Rex Scott pledges to be accessible, visible, a supervisor with leadership worthy of these challenges. Vote for Rex Scott for supervisor. This message is paid for and authorized by Scott for Supervisor 2020.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Show, and with me is Matt Hines. Matt, we only got about 5 minutes, but I wanted you to take this opportunity to thank a tremendous number of volunteers that have helped you get elected to the Pima County Board of Supervisors. You couldn't have done it without them.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for having me on, and we still have a few days to go before the primary, but I think things are going really well, and we've had a tremendous amount of support and folks on the phone. We're not going door to door because it's not safe, but lots of thousands of phone calls going out to voters in the district, and I'm feeling good. I'm hoping that we have good results on Tuesday.
You know, your argument to be elected to the board is one which, obviously, as a respected physician in these very difficult times, that it seems appropriate that the board would have your expertise and your knowledge, not only at the local level as a great physician at TMC, but also on the national level as you supported Obamacare throughout the nation. I think you traveled everywhere. I talked to you in, I think, five different cities. So very quickly, we've got 3 minutes. What do you bring to the board, and how do people help you in this final push to get elected?
Well, I think it's a time when we really need to have folks that that understand a lot about what's going on, what we're facing as a community. I see every day and every night I'm working shifts in the hospital that, working on patients with COVID, a terrible, heartbreaking illness that is something we still don't have a cure for, don't have a vaccine for yet. And we are going to be looking to the county and our health department to give us those guiding pieces of advice. And as we learn more about the virus and this changes going forward, we want to make sure that the county is prepared and their local officials are making the best recommendations for the people. Because the first and most important thing to do as any elected official is to guard and to preserve the welfare, the wellness, well-being, and health of their constituents. And that's something that I take very seriously in my job as a physician, and I will if I'm elected to the board.
By the way, just a few days left. I think it's too late to actually mail your ballot in, and here we are just a few days away from the election on Tuesday. People can take their ballot to the polling place and walk in and vote.
Correct.
And so let's talk about why they ought to do that. You mentioned what you bring as far as a physician to the board, but you have a vast history as a member of the State House of Representatives. You understand Arizona politics very well, don't you?
Sure. It's really been an honor to serve when I was representing the old
District 29. Actually, a lot of District 29, the legislative district I used to represent, is within Supervisor District 2. So there's a lot of voters that can vote for me in this race that supported me back then. So, and it's not just health. Obviously, we have to look to the economy and dealing with the pandemic-induced economic downturn that's affecting so many thousands of Pima County families. That's something that all of our elected officials need to take into account to make sure that folks have the access to resources and support they need during this really tough time.
You obviously are a successful physician. You've got 45 seconds to tell me why add to your responsibilities a political elected office. Why do that?
Well, I think it's really important that we have folks with that background in healthcare that can inform decisions going forward at this local level and at all levels. I heard you were talking with Randy Fries, who's a friend. I think it's important that we have folks from the medical community that, especially these days, that can inform good government policy and good governance moving forward and really help us make the right decision. So I think it's really important. It's something that I consider a tremendous honor when I've done it before. I would love to do that again. And I think it's an important time for the community to have folks with that kind of background.
Well, I urge people to support Matt Hines for Pima County Board of Supervisors. Thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it. Good luck on Tuesday. I'll be thinking about you, voting for you. Thanks.
Thanks so much, John.
You
have
bet.
A good one.
Matt Hines, a physician, former member of the State House of Representatives, and a candidate for the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Joseph Morgan was a commentator on this radio station. He was a columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, now candidate for Congress. We'll talk with Joseph Morgan, Republican. Andrea D'Alessandro is one of the hardest-working state legislators in Arizona. We need to send Senator D'Alessandro and her strong voice back to the House of Representatives in Legislative District 2, which includes part of Pima County and all of Santa Cruz County. Andrea's hard work as a proven and experienced progressive leader serves the best interest of Arizona. Independents and Democrats, vote for Andrea D'Alessandro for the legislature in Legislative District 2 for the House of Representatives in the August 4th Democratic primary. This message paid for by D'Alessandro for Arizona 2020. Authorized by Andrea D'Alessandro. His conservative columns written for the Arizona Daily Star became a must-read for every Southern Arizonan interested in or active in politics. His radio talk show became a leading voice for conservative thought in Southern Arizona. He is Joseph Morgan, and he's running for Congress in Congressional District 2. Joseph Morgan gives the Republican Party the best chance in the last 4 years to regain the District 2 seat. Joseph Morgan is a tireless worker. He's walked to thousands of homes in Southern Arizona. Joseph Morgan is the right person to help us through these very tough times. Joseph Morgan will help lead us through the economic crisis that has resulted from COVID-19. Joseph Morgan believes that every person has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that government exists for no other purpose. Vote for Joseph Morgan in the Republican primary August 4th. This message paid for and approved by Joseph Morgan for Congress 2020. Ethan Orr served in the Arizona House of Representatives. He was called one of the most effective House members in decades. Serving in the majority party, Ethan reached across the aisle, bringing both sides together to benefit Southern Arizona. Now, Ethan Orr returns to public service as a candidate for the Pima College Board of Governors. He is one of the most qualified candidates to ever seek this important position. Ethan Orr is the right choice for Pima College Board. This message paid for by Ethan Orr for Pima College Board. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Thanks for being with us on this Saturday, August 1st, just a few days away from the primary election 2020. Let's go to Joseph Morgan. I just heard about him from one of our radio commercials, obviously, a candidate for Congress in Congressional District 2. Well, Joseph, you're just a few hours away, really, from a primary election. What's your thinking? You've never had your name on the ballot before. Must be an unusual experience, if not something very, very new, obviously.
It's good to be back on the air, John. And yeah, I would say it's one of these things of hurry up and wait. We've done everything we can do. We walked thousands and thousands of doors. I was just at an event in Benson, a farmer's market. I was there pretty much most of the morning and met a lot of great people down there. Still met a lot of people who haven't even cast their ballots yet. So that was really nice. And so again, we're just in the final push, but yeah, there's a lot of hurry up and wait. And of course, because of all the COVID restrictions, This past month and a half has kind of been a whirlwind, just going to lots of different events where people are just trying to cram you in there with some of the other, with the other two candidates on the Republican side as well. But it's been fun. I mean, it's been a blast being my first time through, and with all the volunteer help, we remain really confident we're going to win this thing. So,
why are you the best choice for the Republicans to regain this seat?
From a practical aspect, I mean, I've talked about the fact that I'm the only candidate that has an economic development plan that's specific to our district, and I'm the only candidate that has a laid out plan to solve our medical care crisis. But from the Republican side of things, I'll say I'm the only candidate that can actually play in both arenas. Being the way we are politically, this district for us, you have to be able to appeal to voters in Pima County, and they have completely different things that appeal to them versus the voters of Cochise County. I mean, I just met a lot of people down in Cochise at Benson today, and their issues are what they've always been, they being as conservative as they are. What is your stance on guns? You know, they're really about the constitutional liberties that they feel are being threatened. Yeah, there's the voters like that up in Pima County, but there's a lot of voters that have other issues in Pima County. And I'm the candidate of the three of us that can appeal in both districts, I feel anyways.
You have two,
give us the best shot.
Two major military facilities in Fort Huachuca and, of course, in the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base within your congressional district. And obviously, keeping them here is of greatest importance. There's no question about that. Also, of course, your district is a border district. So let's talk about protecting the military installations in the state, which I think every congressperson ought to address more than they do. And then, of course, the situation at the border, which is not going to get any better no matter what happens with the coronavirus crisis and the pandemic. It's still going to be a crisis.
Yeah, and those are two very, very important issues. I'll just start with the immigration aspect. You know, I learned a great deal in the past 2 years, especially last year when I got to travel all over Cochise County and into the beginning of this year. Obviously, with coronavirus, my travels were limited for several months down to that region, but I still got to learn a great deal from a lot of the people down there, and really eye-opening for me about, you know, their firsthand experience of dealing with illegal entrance into this country and into literally their property, their backyard. These people, when you hear ranchers telling you, how would you feel if you have somebody, you know, 10 people a night crossing into your backyard in the city of Tucson? You think that the people of Tucson would allow something like that to happen and nobody would say anything about it? When you get that kind of perspective, it kind of brings it, you know, like, wow, okay, yeah, that's something I hadn't thought about. And it's really a public safety issue for a lot of these people. It is a national security threat, obviously. But then, of course, you have lots of other things, the human trafficking and drug trafficking, which we hear about all the time. Those are serious issues that affect not just our local community, but obviously expand into the rest of the nation. And so it's very important that we secure our border. And I, of course, believe that any and all means necessary to that end should be achieved, because our national sovereignty, in my view, is not open for discussion or debate. It shouldn't even be a partisan issue. But at the same time, with regards to immigration, I do think that there needs to be a lot of work done on the legal immigration side to streamline that process, to discourage illegal immigration. There's a lot of work that needs to be done there that has not been done for years, and that's a problem as well. But our border issues in the South, the security of our people down there and the security of this nation are just something that must be dealt with. And in my view, again, it shouldn't be a partisan issue. But then with regards to the bases, they are key to my economic development plan. We must recognize to keep them, we need to expand their missions. We need to, again, be looking towards technology, the technologies of the future, specifically in the military and its use in our defense systems and our weapon systems. and this is why I'm talking about artificial intelligence and cybersecurity technologies specifically, these are the techs that can be used and expanded across all sorts of different industries. But you've got to train our kids, and this is a real national security risk, because we don't have a lot of our youth across this nation that even have these skills. And it creates a real problem, but it gives us less opportunity to expand the missions of these bases and the air base and the post here economically, because we're kind of just handicapped because we don't have the means to do that. We don't have the people that can do that stuff. And so other areas that might be expanding that and doing that. And so, for example, on that front, DM, one of the things that we should be looking into is like trying to get a fleet of F-35s here instead of constantly harping about the A-10, which I know the A-10 is something that is very important to our military, but the military has already determined they're going to be making some of those cuts. Those are, I always tell everybody, those are decisions being made way above my pay grade. So let's see that stuff coming. And instead of making a political show, let's see where we can go. Where is the future of military? Where is the future of this stuff going? And how can we work with that so we can expand the economic aspect of that here in our military with the people that we have here at our base so that we don't lose our base. We don't lose its functionality because we're just fighting on one front that is not going to be here, whether we like that or not. So those are just some of the thought processes that I take when it comes to dealing with our making sure our post and our base stay strong. And because especially with the post, I mean, its mission is vital, not just for national security. It's vital for the economy of Sierra Vista in particular and the entirety of Cochise County.
Well, let's go to Ingrid on our phone lines. Ingrid, you're with Joseph Morgan, candidate for Congress in Congressional District 2. Go ahead, Ingrid, your question or comment.
Good afternoon. How do you feel about the increased use of drones at our southern border rather than continuing to build the physical wall?
Thank you, Ingrid. Go ahead.
Thank you for the question, Ingrid. I think the drone capabilities are things that we should be expanding and utilizing because, again, there's lots of other things we can do with drone missions as well. And again, anything that we need to secure our border, and I know that there's lots of tech out there that should be being looked at that with regards to just the physical barrier. But I don't know if you're asking me if I'm for just that versus getting rid of a physical barrier, because I do believe that we need a physical barrier along much of that border, because at the end of the day, you're never going to be able to just do everything that you need with technology. However, we do need to be using any kind of technology that we can use for the security needs that we have. And there's plenty out there. And in fact, there's I've seen some security operations using technology of different things, specifically with related to drone technology, that we're not utilizing. And I think we should be looking into utilizing that because it is much more efficient, and it will help us, you know, contact people that are, you know, miles away from the border and see them coming so that we can catch them before they even get there and be ready to send them back, stuff of that nature. So there's a lot of issues. However, you know, I do believe we need to have a physical barrier, especially along certain segments of the border.
Joseph Morgan, thanks for being with us. Good luck in this campaign on Tuesday. Thanks for being on the show. Good to talk with you again. I really appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
You bet. Joseph Morgan, Republican candidate for Congress, CD 2. Coming up next, Rex Scott. He wants to go to the Board of Supervisors. He's an educator in that district. It's an open seat. We'll talk with Rex Scott after these messages.
Pamela Powers Hanley is the progressive voice of the Arizona House of Representatives. Pamela Powers Hanley is a proud activist, a proud Democrat, and a proud Arizonan. Pamela has fought to preserve vote by mail in Arizona. She has battled to protect citizens from the deadly effects of COVID-19. And she has demanded sensible regulations that protect the health of all Arizonans. Pamela Powers Hanley asks for your vote in the August 4th primary election. This message paid for and approved by Powers for the People 2020. For the past 20 years, Beth Ford has served Pima County residents as their county treasurer. 5 times Beth has asked for the support of Pima County voters, and each time voters have responded with a resounding yes. Once again, Beth Ford asks for your vote for Pima County treasurer. Beth Ford is committed to providing the most professional and efficient service for all of Pima County. Experience matters. Vote for Beth Ford for Pima County treasurer. This message is approved and paid for by Beth Ford for Treasurer 2020. Pima County Health Department, under the direction of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, works every day to protect Pima County citizens. It is timely that one of Arizona's most respected physicians is stepping forward in the middle of this terrible pandemic to run for a seat of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Dr. Matt Hines is a former member of the State House of Representatives. If we ever needed a medical expert on the Board of Supervisors, we need that doctor now. We need Dr. Matt Hines for supervisor. Vote for Matt Hines for supervisor. This message paid for by Hines for Supervisor.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum. From the Perfection Auto Work Studios, this is the John C. Scott Show, and with me is Rex Scott. Rex, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
John, great to be back on the air with you. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. You know, I think back, it's been a long, long time, maybe half a century, but my first run for political office elected to the state Senate, I think I was 29 years old, but it was the most humbling experience I've ever seen. Put your name on the ballot, that's a big deal. I mean, it's not like you can hide yourself. You don't want to do that. It's probably the most public thing anybody could possibly do other than run unclothed down Stone, I suppose. But the whole idea of that is it really is, I think, a humbling experience. How do you feel about it? This is your first time your name's, well, your second time you've been on the ballot. You were in the city council in Athens, Ohio. So how about it this time?
Well, it's always a very humbling experience, but it's genuinely different being on the ballot now that I'm 56 years old, as opposed to when I first did it and I was 20 years old and was elected when I was 24. I lost the first race. But back then, I think I was much more motivated by personal and political ambition. Now, after having a terrific career as a Pima County public school educator, now it's much more about public service than it is about personal ambition.
This district,
but it's still very humbling, absolutely.
This district has been served by a rather controversial figure. How would you exercise your responsibility as the supervisor from this district? How would you do it perhaps differently than it has been administered with the incumbent no longer running?
Well, to me, what I did when I was an educator was I always kept the interests of my students at the forefront of my mind. One of my best friends, who's like a big brother to me, said once, keep doing the right things for kids, and that makes everything that else that may come up easier to confront, easier to cope with. And so my focus as a county supervisor would be very similar. I would be focused on service. The three adjectives I most wanted applied to me as a school leader were to be communicative, visible, and supportive. And those are adjectives that I would like the people of District 1 to be able to apply to me. And many of them already know me. The first teaching assignment that I had was at a District 1 school, Flooring Wells Junior High School. And I was also an administrator at two different District 1 schools, Ironwood Ridge High School, where I was an assistant principal, and Tortolita Middle School, where I was the principal. So I've spent half of my career in District 1 schools. I've already built thousands of relationships and the requisite rapport and trust that you need to be an effective public servant with thousands of families in the district, and that'll be a great foundation for getting to know all the rest of the people in District 1 and being of service to them.
That district has not been served by a Democrat since Ron Asta. You and I commented on that in another conversation we had. It goes way back to the 70s, actually. Katie Dusenberry defeated Mr. Asta, who was elected as a Democrat from this district. It's still an uphill battle, but it's a much closer registration battle than it ever has been before. Explain how that gives you at least a pretty good chance to win this race.
Well, back when the incumbent supervisor, Allie Miller, was reelected in 2016, the Republicans had a voter registration edge of right around 12,000. That has been reduced because of the hard work of Democratic volunteers over the last 4 years, and quite frankly, because of what I guess we'll call the Trump effect. That's been reduced from 12,000 to less than 3,000. Back in 2018, there were a significant number of Democrats who won their races in District 1 when we had state elections. Senator Sinema, Congressmembers O'Halloran and Kirkpatrick, State Superintendent Hoffman, Secretary of State Hobbs, and Corporation Commission member Kennedy, they all won their races in District 1. And then I've already mentioned the name recognition that I've got with thousands of families within the district. That's going to be helpful, as is the fact, John, that this really is the only purple district out of the five supervisorial districts. There are 53,000 Republicans, 50,000 Democrats, and 39,000 independents or members of smaller parties. And for the first 19 years of my life as a registered voter, I was a Republican. Then I was an independent for 4 years, and I've been a Democrat for the last 16 years. I know that there are people of goodwill across the political spectrum who care about District 1 and want it to do well. I know from my 23 years of service as an appointed and elected leader that you need to listen to all voices and honor all points of view and reach out to everybody before you make decisions. So I think I'm best suited in terms of both background and experience to be an independent voice for District 1. And that is the kind of person that we need in what is truly the most diverse district of the five.
All right, how do people help you? We don't have a great deal of time here, but I know you want to thank people that have led you through this primary effort and will be with you marching on into the general. I got about 40 seconds here to thank people if you would take this opportunity to do so, if you'd like to do that. And how do people help you continue on?
I would. We have close to 300 individual contributors to our campaign, mostly educators, retirees, and other average folks. We had dozens of people who helped us to meet our petition signature goal. We've already distributed over 200 yard signs. We've got close to 100 volunteers who are going to help us with no-contact literature drops. Running for office is something where you find out how many friends you have. I am truly blessed to have so many friends and supporters. And if anyone wants to find out more about our campaign, volunteer, request a yard sign, they can go to scott4supervisor.com. That's Scott, the number 4supervisor.com.
Rex Scott, good luck in your campaign. We support you. We hope others do as well. You're going to win his primary and then on to the general to win it in the November election. Thank you for being with us today. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Have a great week.
You have a great week as well. Rex Scott, a great candidate for this supervisor seat. He's going to win this seat. This is KVY The Voice. This is the John C. Scott Show from the Perfection Auto Work Studios.
For 40 years, I've been a cop who has worked sex crimes, child abuse, homicide, and domestic violence. I'm not a politician. I'm Chris Nanos. A cop wants to be your sheriff, unlike the current sheriff, who is a politician. I wouldn't spend my time in Washington, D.C. or hiding behind my office door. As your sheriff, I'll work to fix our dangerously overcrowded jail, cut our 911 response time, and vigorously recruit new deputies.
We need Nanos for Sheriff. Paid for by Nanos for Sheriff.
Rex Scott is running for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. For almost 30 years, Rex has been an educator, working as a teacher and an administrator in public schools. Rex Scott's nearly three decades in public education gives him the experience in finding common ground and determining solutions to complex issues. Rex Scott knows District 1. He has served three schools within the district, Flowing Wells Junior High School, Ironwood Ridge High School, and Tortolita Middle School. Rex started his career in public service as the youngest member ever in the city council in his hometown of Athens, Ohio. With 23 years of service as an appointed or elected leader, Rex is far and away the best qualified person to be the next District 1 supervisor. Rex Scott pledges to be accessible, visible, a supervisor with leadership worthy of these challenges. Vote for Rex Scott for supervisor. This message is paid for and authorized by Scott for Supervisor 2020.
But they can make anything bad because they are the fake, disgusting news.
This is kayfake. Donald Trump was seen laying thousands of $100 bills near the Capitol building to repay the Russians for an easy election. Now the weather. Jane?
Thank you, Jim. Today it's going to snow and hail.
But it's September.
Yeah, I know. It's all Trump's fault.
Do you often wonder if the diagnosis and estimate from your auto repair shop is, well, fake? Are you told the car needs one repair, and after that repair, the problem is still exactly the same? At Perfection Auto Works, when you get our free inspection and diagnosis, it's never fake. We back our repairs with our one-year, 12,000-mile warranty. Call Perfection Auto Works today for an appointment. 323-8650. Brakes, belts, emissions, complete auto repair. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.